The question before us this morning is, what would Martin Luther King do? And you'll probably recognize this as a variation on the question, what would Jesus do? In the last year or so, this particular phrase has been popularized. People are wearing jewelry with WWJD on it. You may see a sticker on the back of a car. And then, of course, there have been variations on that. What would Jesus drive? What would Jesus eat? What would Jesus do or say, indeed? Well, of course, one of the problems is that there isn't a whole lot that we know about Jesus. The only thing that's really recorded after his birth is about 3 years of his public ministry at the end of his life. The Gospels give some conflicting information. We don't have any videotapes. There are no photographs. And I'm always reminded of this when I hear people talking about seeing the image of Jesus in the rust on the water tower, or the bagel that's misshapen. It's the face of Jesus, and I'm always curious as to which particular photograph they're comparing it to. We have different images of Jesus. We have the popular Scandinavian Jesus found in Lutheran churches, for example. Very light-skinned, blue-eyed, long flowing hair, and impeccably dressed. That robe looks absolutely perfect, as you might expect it would. I suspect Jesus looked a lot different. But then again, it's speculation. You may recall the story of the thieves who were being crucified along with him. And one thief turned to the other one and, looking toward Jesus, said, "Well, what did he do?" And the other fellow said, "Well, he was a great teacher, but he didn't publish." So there is no real record about a lot of what Jesus had to say or do, and yet people are very quick to speak as though they know for sure. Sometimes it's more interesting to think about what he didn't say. We'll get to that a little bit later. Well, here we are, having just celebrated Dr. King's 75th birthday, what would have been that anniversary of his birth. And I certainly wonder, what would Dr. King do today? What would he have to say today? How would he react to things that are happening in our time? His biography is probably pretty well known to most of you, even those of you who weren't born or were very young when he died nearly 36 years ago. You may recall he was born in 1929, named Michael King Jr. His father later changed his own name and that of Michael to Martin Luther King. In 1948, before his 20th birthday, he received his Bachelor of Arts degree. 3 years later, his Bachelor of Divinity degree. And then in 1954, he assumed the pulpit in the church in Montgomery, Alabama. 1955 was a very significant year because of his leadership in the Montgomery bus boycott. It was also the year that he received his PhD in systematic theology from Boston University. And what many people don't know, and even among Unitarian Universalists, is that Dr. King was greatly influenced by the Unitarian Universalists of his time and our forebearers. And he was very much in sympathy with our aspirations and teachings and our commitments. He might well have become an extraordinary Unitarian Universalist minister. But he recognized that for him to do the kind of work that he felt must be done for his own people, for African Americans, that he needed to be in the context of the black church. It surely was our loss. And yet we know that many of our principles and purposes were certainly evident in what he taught and how he lived. His house was bombed in 1956. A year later, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference was formed, and he was its first president. And then in 1958, he wrote a book about the Montgomery boycott, a book that I read that year, a book that changed my life forever. It was also the year that he was stabbed by an African-American woman while he was promoting that book in Harlem. The following year, he went to India, and he maintained a lifelong commitment to the principles and teachings of Gandhi. And clearly his approach to change based on nonviolence was reflective of Gandhi's work. 1960, he assumed the ministry of his father's church, and 3 years later found himself in jail in Birmingham for defying a court order and leading demonstrations against discrimination in a department store. It was also the year, in August, before at least 250,000 people in Washington, D.C., that he gave his I Have a Dream speech. And to this day, I feel chills when I hear those words. The following year, he won the Nobel Peace Prize. And it was at that time that he became even more of a threat. He seemed more dangerous because he was no longer simply speaking out about racial injustice. He was facing the issue of war, and what he believed to be an unjust war, and a war that was killing off a disproportionate number of people who were black or of other colors and poor. That's when the effort really gained ground to marginalize him. He experienced more physical assault the following year in his efforts to bring about the Voting Rights Act. And of course, 3 years later in 1968, he was murdered. And I suspect for many of us here, it's one of those days that we will never forget. And finally, in 1986, the Martin Luther King Day began to celebrate his life and his works. Those are the facts. And in this case, we do have film, we do have photographs, we have recordings. And yet we still have to speculate when it comes to imagining what would he do today? What would he have to say? I think there is a great parallel between what we know of the life of Jesus and the life of Dr. King. Both of them displayed extraordinary strength and courage, as well as the ability to love and to reach out to those who would do them harm. And I believe strongly that there has been no one since who has held the moral stature, the power to move us, to challenge us, No leader, in my mind, has held a candle to Dr. King. Well, perhaps that's a bit of romanticizing on my part, overlooking his frailties, his flaws, his humanity. But I stand by that. So what if he were here today? What do you suppose Dr. King would do? How would he react to the continuing racism in our communities, in our schools, the racial violence that continues to take place? What would Dr. King have to say about rappers, gangster rappers, not all black, but many of them, young, incredibly wealthy black men, draped in lots of bling bling, with guns and posses, who refer to women, particularly black women, as bitches and hoes? What would Dr. King do in the face of that? How would he respond to the fact that we still lack universal health care in this country, that over 40 million people are unprotected in terms of health care? I wonder how he would have reacted recently to the revelations about Strom Thurmond's illegitimate daughter, the product of what I would consider a rape. Well, maybe he would have wished the family happy Kwanzaa. I don't know. How do you suppose Dr. King would react to the demonizing of liberals and liberalism? How, indeed, would he react to the bombing of the World Trade Center the first time, and then the destruction of the World Trade Center, the terrorist attacks that left nearly 3,000 people killed? And how about the war in Iraq? I suspect he would have probably maintained the same peaceful protest approach to rally people against the craziness of war. And how about Michael Jackson? What indeed might he have to say about Michael Jackson? For once in his life, he might just say no comment. Now, just as people have appropriated the message, the symbols about Jesus, so too do we do that with Dr. King. It's part of the speculation. And I certainly wonder today, how would he react to children in our schools being bullied and teased and abused, physically threatened, because they're perceived to be homosexual? What would he have to say to the teachers who do nothing in the face of this? And indeed, what would Dr. King do about gay marriage? Oh, I know, that's a very, very dangerous term to use. And of course, I feel very sorry for all the opposite sex couples who are married, who are terribly threatened by the notion that people of the same sex might choose to be married too. Well, do we need the word? I mean, is it offensive to straight people? Do straight people have a monopoly on committed relationships? Personally, I think that one of the greatest threats to marriage has been the Fox network. Single-handedly, they've done more to undermine the sanctity of marriage. They've made a joke of it. Temptation Island. Marrying this one or that one. And they're worried, people are worried that people of the same sex who love one another, who are committed to one another, might want to enjoy the same benefits, the same legal rights that others do. Well, I'm very prejudiced. I am not objective about this issue. And I can tell you what really offends me and outrages me is the fact that with all the talk by people on the right, whether politically or religiously, or whatever, demeaning homosexuality, is that they never seem to mention love. And I begin to wonder, you know, who is it who's hung up on sex? Isn't it the ones that are making such a big deal out of it and compartmentalizing a person's entire life? To me personally, I don't care whether we call it marriage. We can call it a civil union, a holy union. But I believe, and I feel strongly that Dr. King would share this concern, that people have a right to their happiness as long as what they're doing does not hurt anyone else or is not forced on anyone else. And that it's time for us to celebrate love and commitment in a much broader way. Well, how about you? What things do you imagine he would react to today? What do you think he might have to say about some of these issues? Anyone care to share those thoughts? Yes. Good question. Would he be on the Atkins diet himself? Any other thoughts? Yes?
Yes. How would he deal with the lack of education of young black children and their having a terrible time dealing with learning and the problems that occur, just the whole strife, which is all part of it.
Yes, Barbara.
Surely it would lead us to think more about the black-on-black crime that absolutely plagues not just our cities, but I understand rural.
Yes. Jim.
Oh, how would he feel about a society with the deterioration of the infrastructure, hunger, homelessness, lack of job opportunities, in a nation that's willing to spend billions or trillions on landing a man on Mars?
How safe are we really? Dennis.
Look at his son's actions
Could you repeat that?
I think he would have approved of his son's forgiving the assassin. Forgiving the assassin.
Bill?
Yeah, I wondered often whether he would have gravitated to the environmental concern because they so often affect the less economically successful sector of the town.
Any others? Yes? A much higher proportion. Right.
I think one of our very big problems is overpopulation. There was a show done on a young girl in Ethiopia, marrying at 12, 15 years old. And not to be flippant on that, but there's another reason that we should approve homosexual marriages.
Well, a lot of them are having children today, too. Yes, generally.
We couldn't hear what she was saying.
Can you repeat that?
Can you repeat for me?
Her concern was about overpopulation. I'm wondering what he would have to say about that. One more. Well, I can see that one question we can certainly ask is, where is he when we need him? Who is going to take his place? Who is going to stand up for these concerns? And more importantly, what are we as individuals going to do? What are we called to do? Most of us probably don't have many opportunities in life to be big heroes. Our actions are not going to be in the newspapers. They're not going to be on television. The heroism that we display is on a much more private level and interpersonal level. But I believe that we are called not to simply worship or talk about Dr. King any more than people would do that about Jesus, but we are called to be like Dr. King. To display the kind of courage in the face of possible physical threat. To have the strength of character to stand up for what we know is right and good and just. And to dare to express love and encourage the expression of love as something of infinite value. The question was, what would Dr. King do? And I would ask you to imagine if your friends and family were posing the question, what would you do? What would he do? What would she do? What kind of role model are you willing to be? How would they answer the question, what would Marlies do? What would Jim do? What would Judy do? What would Gordon do? We are called to be like Dr. King. And that may not be easy. What are you willing to do today to respond to racism and sexism and ageism, homophobia, and other injustice? Yes.
I just thought equipment he had spent, and this particular installation was set up that he was there by. And it was part of working for us in this effort. And they would occasionally have a party for a special case of the discussions. And I had the pleasure to be invited to those. And my husband was a very interesting person, and the black personnel enjoyed him very much, but they didn't really know the depth of his character. And a couple of the ladies thought that they would get together and just have some fun with him. And he was a pretty straight-laced fellow, but he did enjoy all of that workforce. And so, in good fun, they came on either side of him, and each one of them planted his heart. They didn't know what his reaction might be, but he enjoyed them. They enjoyed him, and I think Martin Luther King would have been encouraged by the camaraderie of the group. So I thought I'd just share that with you.
Thank you.
If he could have seen that, he would have been encouraged that maybe more of this would take place.
Well, I'm glad you stood up and shared that. And in closing, I would ask, who here right now is willing to stand up for racial diversity and fairness? Who's willing to stand up? Who's willing to stand up for age equality? For gender equity? For sexual equality? And perhaps most importantly of all, who is willing to stand and talk and act for peace through nonviolence? What would you do today? Thank you.